Welcome to the 100th episode of The Conference Room, where I'll be interviewed by my good friend, Howard Reel.
So if you haven't got a strong audience retention strategy, it doesn't matter how good your audience growth is, people will leave just as soon as they've come. The minute you talk about something that is not of interest to your audience, they will leave and won't come back.
Welcome to The Conference Room, a weekly podcast where business leaders and growth experts kindly share their experiences, actionable tips, and secrets to successfully grow a business. If you like the podcast, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a five-star review. It'll really help us out. And I really hope you enjoy this week's episode. I'm Simon Lader. Welcome to The Conference Room.
Greetings and welcome to The Conference Room. If you take a second to look closely, you'll notice I'm not Simon Lader. My name is Howard Reel, the longtime host of the Real Truth Radio Show, a 44-year veteran journalist and author, and this is the 100th episode of The Conference Room podcast. My guest today is someone whose name and face you should recognize. It's my good friend Simon Lader. Simon, of course, is the co-founder of cybersecurity search firm Solisi Human Capital and the founder of Viva Podcasts, a consulting company that helps business owners and podcasters make money from podcasting. Simon grew the Conference Room from zero to the top 0.5% of all podcasts within 2 years, earning six figures from it in its second year, and now helps podcasters, entrepreneurs, and business owners with or without podcasts unleash the power of podcasting to grow their revenues and earnings. Simon is originally from the United Kingdom, as you can tell from the funny accent, and now lives in Las Vegas. When he's not geeking out about podcasting, he can be found indulging in his other passions, movies, soccer, and single malt whiskey. Simon, welcome to The Conference Room. Congratulations on your 100th episode. It's quite an accomplishment. How do you feel?
Oh, Howard, wow. First of all, what an amazing intro. Thank you very much. I feel great. I feel a little humbled and very pleased to be the tip of the spear of a team that's 100 episodes.
Okay, well, as a veteran journalist, I've got questions for you. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Every hero has an origin story, and you're the hero of our story. So tell us, how did you get to become the host and producer of a podcast that's now in the top 0.5%?
Okay, well, great question. So we started The Conference Room, really, it was basically a second iteration because, as you mentioned, and as a lot of people will know, I've been a headhunter in cybersecurity for over 25 years. I started in 1997 when I was 6 years old, I'm kidding, and co-founded Solisi in 2005. Solisi is in the very lucky position of being pretty well known within cybersecurity. So as we really had the first, I don't know, 18, 20 or so years of being in business, we didn't really need to do an awful lot of marketing or business development because word of mouth was all the marketing we really needed to do. So when we got to the beginning of 2020, when the pandemic hit, suddenly the primary way that we were doing the little bit of networking we did, which was speak to people that we knew and reach out to people and talk to them about hiring or how to be better at hiring or that kind of thing. Suddenly, this was the last thing people wanted to hear, because as you'll know, when there's an economic downturn, when there's any economic uncertainty, the first thing that stops and the last thing that's going to restart at the other end is hiring. People are scared about their own jobs. So we needed to find another way to market ourselves. So for the very first time, I started getting involved with online marketing, email marketing, that kind of thing, surrounding myself and networking with people online that I'd never really gotten involved with before. So from March to the summer of 2020, I really kind of put myself through online marketing school. I was in Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups, attending various online courses and conferences. One thing that people kept saying to me was, oh, can you come on my podcast? Can you join my podcast? Can I interview you for my podcast? I thought, okay. Now, I knew nothing at all about podcasting. In fact, at that point, I thought if you wanted to have a podcast, you had to be the BBC or CNN or Newsweek or whatever. I didn't realize that anyone could start a podcast. That was how kind of naive I was. But I went on these podcasts. I learned to say yes. So through all of that time when I was on these podcasts, a lot of people were saying to me, you're so good at this. You should start your own podcast. You should start your own podcast. So in the summer of 2020, I started a podcast and I thought, okay, well, if I'm going to start a podcast, how do I go about doing that? Right. So I did what most normal people would do. I Googled it. How do you start a podcast? All this stuff kept coming back to me and I was reading up on it. And the one thing that came up time after time in all of this material I was reading was talk about what you know. Well, okay, well, I've been doing headhunting and recruiting for 20 odd years. Maybe I should talk about that. So I recorded 6 episodes of a podcast all about headhunting and recruiting. And it was called the Career Development Podcast. And I recorded it and I edited it. And then I put it on the shelf for a day or two. And then we'd come back, listen to it with fresh ears or any changes. They were awful. They were turgid. They were boring. I thought, okay, well, clearly podcasting isn't for me. So I went away, licked my wounds. But then as I was still on other people's podcasts, they kept saying, you should still be on a podcast. Don't take no for an answer. Be on a podcast. It was just your first stumble. No one gets it right the first time. So I came away, did some rethinking. And after quite a laborious process of research, talking to people, trial and error, finally we came on a concept of a new idea for a podcast. We trialed it. It worked. And the conference room was born. And here we are 100 episodes later.
So 100 episodes in, what have you learned that you would tell yourself if you had a time machine back on the first episode?
Okay, one thing I would say that we have done is we've kept the format pretty standard, okay? If I'm honest, I think I'm a better interviewer now. Listening back to some of the first episodes, the format's not really changed, but I think the quality of the questioning is better. I think I'm a better interviewer than I was. So I think be better would be the first thing I would say. I think the other thing was, I think the reason why I was stilted was because I was in interview mode and I was trying to be an interviewer, a podcast interviewer, right? Where I think once I got to the mid-teens, early 20s of the podcast, I realized it was just a conversation and I left a lot of that persona behind. And I think part of that was down to spending more time on the pre-interview. So everyone that comes onto the podcast, I interview beforehand, 15, 20 minutes just to get to know them better and to build some rapport and some chemistry. Now, probably from, again, episode maybe down at 15, 20, I realized that by spending more time getting to know them then, the actual podcast itself would become a more natural and more kind of free-flowing and organic conversation. So this whole kind of hard-hitting journalist persona that I think I was trying to be, or maybe even on a subconscious level, I didn't need to be, because at the end of the day, people wanted to tune in, not so much to listen to me, but to listen to the natural conversations I was having with the guests that I was able to bring in.
When beginner podcasters talk to you, they don't know what to do. They got to learn from you what to do. What are the problems, the obstacles, the roadblocks they hit first early on?
Okay, the biggest problem that the podcasters, newbies or established podcasters that are struggling to find their audience, the biggest problem they have is audience growth, okay? Whether it's people reaching out to me because they're seeing the success that the conference room has had, or through Viva Podcasts, the single biggest question I get is, how do we grow our audience? And there's a fallacy built into the question. Basically, when people talk about audience growth, and we've been very, very lucky, the scale and the speed with which we were able to grow our audience. The fallacy of audience growth is, basically, there's no such thing. Anyone that says, I've got a strategy for audience growth, it's nonsense, because audience growth is really two separate things. Think of an audience a bit like water in a bathtub. Silly, but actually quite a strong analogy. So audience growth is like trying to fill a bathtub. If you turn the faucet on or the water comes in, if you haven't got the stopper in at the other end, it's going to flow out just as quickly as it flows in. Most podcasters have a simple problem, which is the same problem that comes up time after time. They might have a popular guest that they bring in that brings an audience with them, or they might talk about a particular subject that has appeal and brings an audience in. But just as quickly as the audience comes in, an episode or two later, they're all gone. So if you haven't got a strong audience retention strategy. It doesn't matter how good your audience growth is, people will leave just as soon as they've come. All right. So the single biggest problem that most podcasters have is how to attract guests and how to retain them. If you haven't got those two things nailed down, then you'll never grow. And that's the biggest problem that we see.
My perception, and I'm not in the podcast business, I was on the radio, is that everyone and his brother has a podcast today. And I assume, and you'll tell me because you're the expert, that it's very, very difficult to be heard above the din of so many podcasts. Am I right?
That's absolutely true. Yeah, that's absolutely true.
So how do you get heard above the din?
Okay, there are a few different ways. And as long as any one or two of them will bite, then you're at the races, okay? And these are things that are pretty simple to get right as long as you've done the groundwork first. So there are things like SEO, having your show notes optimized for search engines, having a presence and creating a following on Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter or TikTok or whatever platform, and using that as the main kind of attraction engine to draw people to you and then to your podcast. However, none of that will work unless you have fully and thoroughly determined what your relationship is going to be with your audience. And the only way to do that is to figure out who your audience is. The Achilles heel when it comes to defining your audience is people trying to go too broadly. I talk on Viva Podcasts, we talk a lot about what we refer to as the audience covenant. The audience covenant is a shorthand for you saying to your audience, okay, if you give me X amount of time every week, every other week, however often your podcast comes out, in return, I will give you this. And as long as you stick to that, your audience will come back and then they will start to refer. You'll get word of mouth. And then as you get good guests, they'll bring in their audience and then a lot of those people will stay as well. However, it's impossible to establish an audience covenant unless you have a tightly defined niche audience. The reason for this is very simple. I actually had a conversation with somebody earlier today. It's quite apropos. She said to me, I'm struggling to find my audience. I said, okay, fine. Who's your audience? She said, women. I said, what? Okay. Women? She said, yeah, women. So I said, well, okay. How are you going to talk to all women all the time? She said, well, oh, I can talk about social issues and I can talk about lifestyle issues and I can talk about what it's like to be a modern woman in the 21st century and blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, let me just give you a few examples. Woman number one is a single mum struggling on food stamps. Number two is a successful woman, dual income with kids in private schools. Number three is a woman who is married on a middle level of income and has fertility problems. Number four is a soccer mom who's trying to juggle a husband who she rarely sees with three kids and who, right? And I was giving five or six different examples of women, completely different lives. I said, if you want to talk about something that's like a woman's issue, and that's what you want to talk about, let's say you talk about infertility, then the women have got kids and not going to be interested. If you talk about something that's to do with kids, then the woman with infertility is not going to be interested. If you talk about something that's about, oh, going on a retreat and a spa and a this and that and the other, then the woman who is on food stamps isn't going to be interested. The minute you talk about something that is not of interest to your audience, they will leave and won't come back. So rather than being too broad, narrowly define. In fact, the best podcasts, the most successful podcasts, and that one's not a bad one, he said, pointing to the conference room, which he remembered doesn't work on an audio-only podcast, is a good podcast is one that has a narrowly defined audience, but a deep vein of subjects that will appeal to that audience, okay? The conference room's audience is very narrowly defined. We are purely and solely aimed at English-speaking entrepreneurs or business owners of growing businesses, probably in the tech sector, probably, but not exclusively. So all of the subjects that we talk about And we've talked about 99 different subjects. We've talked to 99 different people so far. Every one of them has talked to that particular audience. We've got a very rich and varied array of topics that we talk about, but they're all talking to a very defined niche. The problem is that people tend to flip it and they talk about a very narrowly defined array of subjects, but to a very broad audience. The problem is that when you do that, you'll keep missing your target.
It's very interesting. What do you say to the person who wants to be a podcaster, but thinks, well, I'm not a techie. I can't even spell SEO. I don't know how to do this. What do you tell them?
So I've got to tell you, I am the least techie person I know. I really am. Okay. There's a rule that we have both in Silesia and in Viva podcasts, which is if you don't know how to do something, you either, if it's super simple, learn how to do it. If you can learn how to do it in 10 minutes watching a YouTube video, learn how to do it. If not, outsource it. If you can't outsource it, delegate it. If you can't delegate it, hire someone else that can do it. All right. Everything we do, we either learn super quick how to do it, we delegate it to someone else in the business that knows how to do it, or we outsource it. It's that simple. At the very beginning, my team for the podcast was me. I did everything. And there are super simple tools available to learn. And the more sophisticated the podcast got, you'll notice probably around episode 10 or so, it gets a bit better. The sound quality gets better. The edits get tighter. That's because I hired a podcast editor to specifically do that. And I empowered him with all the tools that he needed. But before that, it was all me. And it was good enough.
Were the COVID lockdowns good or bad for podcasters? Did it help or hurt?
Well, we were born in COVID. The conference room was born in COVID. One thing I will tell you is that there was a massive spike in podcasts during COVID. Everyone and his dog started a podcast in COVID. However, if you look now, most of those podcasts have died. An interesting statistic, there are 5 million live podcasts, as in consistently updating podcasts. 5 million live right now on Spotify, plus minus. However, there are, I think it's 100 million podcast titles on Spotify, which means 95% of the podcasts that are on Spotify are dead. So that tells you that there are a lot of people that start podcasts, but then they don't go anywhere. Those podcasts just kind of fizzle out. From the research that we've done internally, there are a number of reasons for this. The two most common reasons that we found is, number one, people run out of things to talk about, which is kind of what happened with me and that first iteration of the podcast that I tried. And the second thing is they don't feel they're getting out of the podcast what they're putting in, whether that's in terms of time or money or excitement or whatever. It's interesting. We've talked to a number of people at Viva Podcasts about monetization, getting the podcast to actually earn the money. And there have been a few people that have said, oh, I'm just doing it for the passion. I'm just doing it because I enjoy talking about fill in the blank. The problem is that's all well and good at the beginning when it's exciting and it's fun and I'm starting a podcast. But 6, 8, 10 episodes in, if you're not getting anything from it, then it's very hard to keep motivated to do it.
It becomes drudgery.
It does, you know? And it might be that the thing you're getting from it is you're talking to your best mate on the other side of the world and the two of you just hanging out talking about Marvel or whiskey or Jelly Bellies, whatever it is that you happen to be passionate about. But for most people, they at least need to see the podcast is compensating them for their time. From the research that we've done, the biggest reason why 95% of podcasts don't make it past episode, I think it's 10, is because the podcasters haven't found a way for the podcast to at least start to demonstrate that it will be able to compensate them for their time. We're not even talking about making six figures or Joe Rogan amount of money or an income replacing amount of money or an income enhancing amount of money, just paying for its time. I put in 4 hours a week on my podcast. Those 4 hours, I'd like to see myself earning $50 an hour. I'd like to see at least $200 coming from my podcast. People aren't even making that. That's why I think from the research that we've done, so many, the overwhelming majority of podcasts that start die before episode 10.
Who would you like to interview on your podcast that you haven't already?
My dad. Yeah.
That probably won't happen, though.
Yeah, my dad passed away just over 10 years ago. He would have loved this. I'm not just being schmaltzy. The podcast is about business growth, and my dad was the European Vice President of Channels for Canon at the height of his career, so he would have had a huge amount to offer to my guests, and he would have had a kick out of the fact that his kid is managing to do this. He would have been a great guest, and he was the consummate storyteller. I remember there was one time we were driving, and not long before he passed away, he and I drove from Manchester, where I was living at the time, up to Scotland, and it's about a 3-4 hour drive, and this was before the days of iTunes or Spotify, so I came in the car with a stack full of CDs that we were going to listen to. We get in the car, and I don't think we put on a single CD the entire drive. We were just chatting. That would have made a phenomenal episode of the podcast. But even aside from that, just hearing his advice, his guidance of what he could have offered to our listeners would have been an amazing thing.
What does the year ahead hold in store for podcasts in general and for Simon Later and podcasts specifically?
Wow, that's a great question. Well, it's going to be interesting because I think the year ahead is going to pose some very different challenges to 2022 and 2021. So 2021, we were still in COVID as the conference room really started and took the first tentative steps into the podcasting world. So a lot of what we were talking about then were very COVID related. Some of our very first episodes were about managing teams remotely and working from home and building a business based on remote teams. And a lot of stuff was very kind of online and social centric. Then as we went into 2022, a lot of it was just about acceleration because, hey, there was a lot of cheap money out there and business was booming and people were doing really well. And a lot of companies had benefited from the COVID grants and loans that were out there. As we've come into 2023, the challenge is now quite different. Interest rates are much higher. There's a lot less cheap money out there. There's a lot less money out there. There's quiet quitting. People are talking in fear of there may be a recession that's on its way. So I think that a lot of the topics that we're going to be talking about on the conference room, just by nature of the economic environment, are going to change. Even though we're still talking about business growth and business growth still being very much the focus of the podcast, growing in a recession is a different challenge to growing when the economy is booming or growing in a pandemic. So there's going to be, I think, some very different conversations that we'll be having then. In terms of myself, I'm looking forward to talking to a lot of really interesting people. We've got some phenomenal podcasts that we've recorded over the last few weeks that will be coming out over the next few weeks and months that I think are going to be just extraordinary. So that's super exciting. And Viva Podcasts is going to hopefully continue to help people, and got a very exciting membership offer that we're going to be launching in pre-launch. Also tremendously exciting.
Okay, people want to listen to the conference room. Where can they find it?
Well, the conference room they're listening to right now. So they can find that on Spotify, on iTunes, on pretty much anywhere you get your podcast. They can find it anywhere. We also have the conferenceroompodcast.com is our website. But if you want to learn more about Viva Podcasts, go to vivapodcasts.com or go to facebook.com/groups/scale-share-monetize. Or we have the most amazing freebie that we're giving away. It's called the Podcast Power-Ups. It's got some of the very best money-making and audience-building strategies that people can put into practice right away. And it's free and it's available at vivapodcasts.com/podcast-power-ups. I'm guessing we'll put a link to that down below as well.
You know, after 44 years as a journalist, my favorite question, whether it's newspapers, magazines, or on the radio, what should I have asked you that I didn't ask you?
Wow. That's a good one. What should you have asked me? Do I still enjoy it?
Well, tell me this, Simon. Do you still enjoy it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't believe we've got to 100. And hand on heart, I've loved every single conversation that we've had. Every single one. It's been 99 interviews, the 100th as the interviewee, and I've absolutely adored every conversation that I've had, and I'm incredibly indebted to every single guest and the people that reached out that didn't make the cut. Every single person that expressed an interest, that gave their time, that were so generous with their advice and their value, that have made this podcast the success that it is. I'm incredibly grateful to them. And Howard, I'm incredibly grateful to you for giving your time today as well.
Well, as the only person on the planet who has hosted the conference room, aside from you, I want to thank you for the opportunity. It's been a privilege.
Howard, thank you so much.
Best of luck.
Thank you very much indeed.
Coming up next week on The Conference Room, I'll be talking to entrepreneur and crowdfunding expert, Dr. Letitia Wright.
I was fearless back then. Looking back, I'm like, wow, where did I get this fearlessness from? I was learning business. This is a business. I started really running the show like a business. And so I spread out. I got nationally syndicated on DirecTV. So that is how I got into television. I want to do this thing called crowdfunding. I raised money for myself, for my own book. So my main thing was I wanted entrepreneurs to understand about this great new tool.
Thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate it. And make sure you visit our website, theconferenceroompodcast.com, to see all the other episodes and to get access to the show notes and resources mentioned in this episode. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with your network, or better still, go on to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any other podcast platform and leave us a 5-star review. It'll only take you a moment, but it'll mean the world to us. And please don't hesitate to tell us which topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes. To get in touch, drop us a line in the comments section or send us a message on social media. Just search for The Conference Room Podcast or me, Simon Lader, on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, or TikTok. I'm always open to a conversation. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you'll be alerted when a new episode goes live every week. Thanks so much for listening to The Conference Room, and until next time, keep talking.